In this episode, I'm going to talk with you about an inbound organization, and Dan Tyer from HubSpot is checking in, and you're not going to want to miss that.
Discover how video can help you achieve your sales and marketing goals. It all starts right here in Todd Hartley's Video Marketing Mastery. Brought to you by Wirebuzz.
What is up? What is up? Okay, a very special podcast episode for you. Good friend of the podcast, Dan Tyer, is going to be joining us. And have you heard about the new book, Inbound Organization? Well, it's written by Dan Tyer and Todd Hockenberry. And the book is designed to help you build and strengthen your company's future using inbound principles. And that's why I'm joined right now by my friend Dan Tyer, co-author and good friend of the podcast. Hi, Dan.
Hello, Todd. Great to be here for the third time. Yep. I love visiting your office. We're neighbors here Arizona, and there is going to be a lot of energy in this podcast, right? We're both the same kind of people. I think the floor is shaking already. The windows are vibrating a little bit, and super excited to be here to share what we've learned over the last few years. And tell me a little bit about the podcast. How's it growing? What is it designed to do? All that kind of stuff.
The podcast is Video Marketing Mastery, and twice a week we take on the topic of where, you know, it's really the intersection of where digital marketing, sales meet video production.
Yeah.
And our audience has been growing tremendously. Now, here's the thing. This is how you know.
Yeah.
Is every week people are emailing me, asking me questions, thanking me for helping them with their business.
Right.
And that's a velocity that I hadn't seen. Now we're, this is episode 140, Dan Tyer.
Oh,
third
baby.
The podcast.
Yes. But you were the original Schmarketer, right?
Yes.
We're here in Phoenix, Arizona.
Yes.
Right? So my house is 7 miles from your beautiful office. If you haven't been to Todd's office, you need to come visit, right?
Thank you.
It's like the three best things to visit in Phoenix. The Musical Instrument Museum.
That's great.
Right? And then maybe Chase Ballpark, and then
Wirebuzz,
right?
Right.
Because it's slick, right? Yeah. You got this whole thing set up, and it's got that sleek kind of thing, and you got beautiful views out the back.
So cool.
But you were original Schmarketer.
I'm a Schmarketer.
The first time we didn't even meet live. I saw a video that you had done about using video to create revenue.
Inbound has the ability to revolutionize organizations. Companies like mine have been built on it. Those of you who may not know, my first inbound test through HubSpot generated $350,000, and I was still in the 30-day free trial.
That was amazing. In fact, that's how we got to know each other.
Right?
All of a sudden, somebody sends me this YouTube video, and this guy with this great journalistic voice, right, this deep voice, shows this great video of how he was using video to generate $345,000. Yeah. I go, who is that? And they go, that's the guy, Todd. I'm like, where is he? He's like, he's in Phoenix. I go, I live in Phoenix. Oh my goodness. I got to go visit Todd. And then, so I played that video 10,000 times. It was the greatest ever because people look at you skeptically and not so much anymore, but in the last few years, does video really work? And I'm like, oh my goodness.
And it's a ton of fun because if you tee up the relationship, people buy at faster rates because they already know, like, and trust you, and you started off being helpful instead of being salesy.
And, of course, HubSpot has jumped on the video bandwagon since 2015. Brian Halligan, our CEO, says 50% of your content should be video.
Yep.
And we're getting to the point now where people won't read blog articles, right? I don't know if you know this, but most of the conversions on the HubSpot blog are halfway through the blog article. So people don't even read a 800-word blog article.
It's too much.
And when I ask somebody, all right, I want to send you follow-up information, I always ask, do you want a video? Do you want an ebook? What do you want? And video is like 75%. Just send me, and it's interesting, it's just send me a short, that's the descriptor, a short video. Right? And that's the way people consume their information, right? Have you seen the millennial statistic that it's the number one app for people who are less than 22 years old, right? YouTube, right? You could take away their Facebook. You could take away their Twitter. Probably not on Twitter.
There's even been studies about people that aren't willing to live without their YouTube or about their Facebook.
All right. So you started, maybe you didn't start the revolution. You were early in the revolution. So I love coming here. I'm happy to be part of your podcast.
Thank you.
I appreciate the fact that two things that you said. Number one, tie it to the revenue.
Right.
Right. Because in a busy world, right? Tying it to the revenue is important. And number two is the relationship. Right. And the Inbound Organization, the book that Todd Hockenberry and I just spent the last year and a half writing, be available on April 24th, 2018. It's all about building those relationships. And that it's like different in 2018, even than it was in 2016.
The thing that's awesome about it is with HubSpot, and also Wistia at this point, yeah. we could track anybody that watches the video.
That's right.
And in real time, get notifications based on each individual person, what their viewing attention span habits are. And as a listener of this podcast, you know that I preach that all the time because it's really, it's so much better to understand your prospect's attention span for your product or service by tracking the video than their body language when you're sitting with them.
No
body
question.
Language is deceptive, right?
That's right.
Every guy who's ever gone on a date knows body language is deceptive. But attention span that's being tracked covertly gives you the holy grail.
It's all about the data and the facts, right?
Yes.
You were tracking those statistics and
but
you
even
could tell.
Better, I was tracking HubSpot. So when I sent the email to HubSpot to thank them, in our office
yes.
at Wirebuzz, we
yes.
were having a celebration
yes.
every time we watched
yes.
the HubSpot organization
yes.
watch our video.
Open it, right. I was like half those opens. I'm telling you, I sent that to everybody in Phoenix. That was amazing. And it was the inbound aesthetics. First of all, you were
yes.
trying to help people before you were trying to sell them, right? And part of the inbound organization is I've been at HubSpot for 11 years,
right?
Right? And people always say, all right, I want to do what that guy Hartley does. How do I become an inbound organization? And I'm like, well, before you can like practice inbound, you have to be inbound. And they go, oh, that's interesting. What does that mean? I go, well, that means you have to find your why you're in business, right? Why you want to like have and help people. And they go, okay, I don't know how to do that. And I go, all right, well, teach you how to do that. The second of all, you have to treat people like human beings, right? You can't just spam them with stupid stuff.
Right.
You can't just cold call. People still, I mean, it's a $1 billion industry in 2018, but that's not the right way to like build your brand and to really help people. And then you have to start being inbound to practice inbound. That means you have to treat your employees with respect. That means you have to explain to them how you're going to go to market. That means you have to pick a target demographic and a persona, and you have to effectively go after that. So we decided to spend a year to write this book to explain to CEOs, entrepreneurs, business leaders how to create that inbound organization.
I'm so glad that you started off with the inbound philosophy.
Yes.
And I've always built my whole life is about being helpful. That is my primary motivator. And it's not just being helpful to people I'm trying to do business with, but literally every day I've got a phone call with somebody that knows me somewhere that needs some advice on something. And I always take that call because at the core, I do know that I need to get them to know me. I need to get them to like me and to trust me before they're ready to do business. And that is a central pillar in inbound.
Well, exactly right. And you know, not everybody's like that. Right?
Right.
I'm in New York City 3 weeks ago and I'm like, you've got to help to earn somebody's business. And people are like, why? And I'm like, because that's the way we do it in 2018. And they're like, I don't want to help. I want to close. I want to sell. I'm like,
right.
No. It's too busy. And you and I were just talking about all the attention
yeah.
that people have, the confusion, all of the different like impacts that people have on their mind. If you're not building that relationship, sometimes years before they're ready to buy, you're not getting that business.
Right.
And I can prove it, right? The last 11 years have shown that people who have that beautiful aesthetic of all I want to do is help,
right?
I don't care if you give me money or not. Now, I've seen you speak dozens of times, right? You have taught people about how to use video since 2010,
right?
And you've never asked for anything. There's no like strong call to action. There's like, I'm going to teach you how to do it. I'm going to lay that foundation. I'm an expert. Actually, you're too humble to say I'm an expert. I'm telling people you're an expert in video. It comes through, obviously, because of what's 30 years now?
And you don't ever, yeah, you. I'm my 20th year in digital marketing.
20th year in digital marketing. But your journalism background.
Yeah, it goes 20 something years. I am 45 until the end of this week.
You look like 33, man.
I'm working on it.
You're rocking the new suit.
Yeah.
You're looking great.
A lot of Noxzema. I don't know what that is.
The idea.
Oil of LA.
The idea of helping people, that you've just always done it. It's in your genes. And most of the inbound tribe, they skew female, they skew marketing. They go, of course, that's what we want to do.
They get it.
There's lots of people who don't, right? And those guys are at risk because if you're not helping people in today's business environment, you're going to be annihilated.
Dan, I recently read a study that 82% of buyers don't want to talk to a salesperson until they're ready to make a buying decision.
That's right.
How does inbound fit into that philosophy?
Yeah, well, the whole idea is you got to help, right? That I'm pounding the table. Like, first of all, it has to be authentic, right? It has to be something that permeates through your entire organization. That means you have to hire the right people,
right?
To hire the right people, you know how we use buyer personas of how we sell? You have to have a buyer persona for your employees. You have to be looking for somebody who's naturally curious, who understands the whole aesthetic, who is expecting something like a level of social responsibility, right? It's not good enough just to be in business to make money. You have to be in business for a reason. Simon Sinek calls it, you know, finding your why,
right?
I just read a great Simon Sinek quote today. He said, Dr. Martin Luther King didn't say, I have a mission statement. And he said, and those stories and the ability for you to understand, that takes effort. Right. That, and first of all, you have to find it in your heart. And then you have to spend time and effort sharing it to your whole organization, which I know you do.
Yeah.
You walk into Wirebuzz and everybody's like smiling and they're drinking the water with the little strawberries in it. And they're in like a beautiful office and they're all pumped. That's not like by accident. You spend a lot of time. What did you tell me? You bring in yoga and masseuse and so that you can create this environment. Now, why do you do that?
I want to, first of all, I want to invest. I want to invest in people, in relationships. I also want people to not look to work elsewhere. And I want them to feel like they are nurtured and valued. I have never had an employer offer massages. And I knew, I'll check this out. When you're inside of an office, you often feel like you're in a fishbowl with other fish swimming around.
Okay.
And I've worked in almost every environment I've ever worked in, there's been too many betta fish floating around inside that tank.
Yep.
But you can't have more than one betta fish.
Yep.
And as soon as you start providing things that are like massage, when people come out of a massage session in the middle of their workday, and I first saw it when I was at Google working and on tour there, when people walk out the door and their hair's like messed up and they have their eyes closed for 30 minutes, they affect change in the office. The energy is different. Everybody's chilled out and there's no betta fish. And then everybody lowers their aggressive elements. And now we're back to supporting and nurturing each other.
Totally cool. So you've thought through the implications of giving those benefits to those folks. One of the reasons you have a high retention is a beautiful office. People like working here. They understand the why is to help your customers. That is not consistent with lots of like thousands of the companies that we talk with. So if you're outbound, it's like, I'm going to sell this widget and we have this widget. Let's just go sell it. In inbound, it's like, all right, how can this widget help our customers solve their problems,
right?
Which is completely different perspective, right? Now, when you have those people, then you have to empower them with the right processes. And then you have to explain to them because it's a constant process. This is what our mission is. These are what our strategies are. These are what our plays are. These are our missions, omissions, and this is what our targets are going to be. We call that the M spot. Have you ever heard of an M spot?
No.
Okay. So an M, it's not a five spot, right? It's a HubSpot term where we put all of those things, our mission, our strategies, our plays, our omissions,
and
our targets. That's the M spot. We put it on one piece of paper, right? So anybody in the company can see that. It's posted on the wiki. And everybody knows exactly what the mission is, right? Everybody knows what the strategy is. Everybody knows what the plays are. Everybody knows how we're going to be judged. And we see that 12, maybe 20 times a year. It's on the company level, and then it builds down into the division and the department level. So everybody in the company, 2,200 employees, all know exactly where we are,
right?
And so I'm on stage someplace in, I think it was Chester in the UK. You ever been to Chester?
I haven't been
there. It's between Manchester and Liverpool. And I'm talking about an M spot, and people are saying, What's that time?
I've been to both of those cities, but never Chester.
Okay, Chester's a beautiful place. It was where King Richard was inaugurated or something in the 14th century. I know that's a little bit before your time, but beautiful place. And I'm speaking, and then my co-author Todd Ockenberry is going, Dan, no one knows what an M-spot is. Right. I go, how can you not know what an M-spot is in 2016? He goes, no one's ever heard the term. So we interviewed J.D. Sherman, the CEO of HubSpot, Brian Halligan, who's the CEO, talks a little bit about the M-spot. And it's essential to the way HubSpot runs their business, right? And everybody should have an M-spot, right? The big takeaway from this podcast is you go, just Google it, M-spot. You'll find it on the Inbound organization. You can find it in the book. And it will show you how to put everything on one page. And the magic is that everyone in your organization needs to know the mission of the company, right? Everybody needs to understand the strategies of the company. Absolutely. Everybody needs to understand the S's or the P's, the plays. And then these omissions are pretty important because what we find entrepreneurs in 2018, they want to do everything, right? And that focus is very important. So you're acknowledging that we've reviewed these kind of potential things we're going to do, but we're not going to do them this year because they're not accretive to the entire process.
Now, Dan just tipped you off. You should get access to it at inboundorganization.com. That's inboundorganization.com. That's where you can find out about the book and about M-Spot and about Dan Tyer and also his co-author, Todd Hockenberry, who will join us on a later podcast episode.
All right. So, Todd, this is the great thing about Todd. First of all, Todd comes, he has three patents. He's kind of a scientist, right? He comes from an industrial manufacturing background, and he's the nicest guy in the world. He's constantly making fun of me, saying, Tyer, you live in the HubSpot bubble. Of course, you know what an M-spot is. You have all these like smart people in technology. He goes, spend a week with me, right? And in the book, there's like all these chapters of companies like a Wirebuzz who've started inbound and a few who haven't and the ramifications of that. And he's like, it's a little bit different in these industries that are like a little bit older, a little bit lagging in technology, but the concepts still apply, yep. Right? People still need, you're selling lasers, like $500,000 lasers. You still have to help people before they buy. Sometimes you have to help them way, way before they are ready to buy. And we have tons of examples in the books of industrial and distribution companies who are buying these really big and expensive kind of pieces of material that are practicing inbound as a way of doing it.
Really fascinating how an inbound marketing philosophy can go up a level, be a guiding philosophy for an organization.
Right.
And that feels somewhat, that's groundbreaking to me.
I think it is. People would always say, well, I want to practice this sales and marketing, this schmarketing, right? I want to practice inbound marketing. And some people would try, but they weren't successful because they didn't have the underlying foundation, right? We would say, well, why are you doing this? And unless all of your employees know that, unless you're empowering your team, right? The whole idea of the inbound organization is in certain instances, even though as your president and founder, you might report to a project manager because that's just what the project is all about.
Right.
Oh, you know that all the time. Sometimes you're on the on-air talent. Sometimes you're like producing the whole thing.
Right.
But I'm sure in your career, you reported to 24-year-old people who have just sometimes that's difficult for people to understand. In a hierarchical organization, right, it's like, no, I'm the vice president. I should be like running it. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking at him like, no, this is not the 1950s, right? Tons of times in my career, I reported to different people, sometimes 20 years my junior, but they had different job responsibilities, and that's just part of it.
It happened last week. Last week on Friday, we had three video shoots going on for the company in three different states and a fourth event going on in Chicago.
Yeah.
And so I went to a Phoenix shoot,
yep.
And I ran a camera.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, it was the first time in years, and I loved it. I had so much fun. I was like, I'm actually kind of good at this.
I know. And the director's saying, no, cut, Todd, yeah. Cut. And you're like, okay. And in normal instances, like you're paying that lady's paycheck, but it's still.
It's worse than that, Dan. It's worse than that. They kept coming to my and checking all of my settings.
Unbelievable.
They would check my focus.
And, I love it.
And you know what's, this is kind of bad. I don't know if I can focus on the small viewer anymore. And
it's the eyesight. I know. Once you hit 50, it's going to be hard, Todd. The whole idea of the inbound organization is that there are some essential things that you have to do, right? Leaders have to lead by putting it all on one piece of paper. They have to have an M spot.
They have to show a vision.
They have to create the culture, yeah. Right? We quote in several parts of the chapter, Katie Burke, who's our chief people officer. Halligan has been on stage saying Katie is the most valuable employee at HubSpot, right? Her job is to make sure that our employees feel like they're super important,
yep.
Right? And she does all of this kind of stuff, right? We have mystery dinners. Do you know mystery dinners? Have you ever heard of that?
Is it a dinner where like somebody, there's a theater that goes on around the dinner?
No. That's a good thing, but that's not what it is. It's like a flash mob for dinner, right? Oh. So they'll take an executive and 12 or 14 other HubSpotters. So all of a sudden, you're in support. You're sitting next to the CEO of HubSpot. All of a sudden, you're in development or a frontline salesperson, and you're sitting next to our chief legal counsel.
That's great.
And so it fosters this kind of a small company mentality,
yep.
Where you can like ask them anything, right? No offices at HubSpot, so you can walk in and ask anyone anything, right? You want to get 15 minutes on Brian Halligan's calendar? Anybody can do it, right? He doesn't have an office. He sits over in the LATAM group.
Right.
He's got lots of like swag and paraphernalia on his
That's how I'd do it if I was Brian.
And same thing with Dharmesh,
yeah.
Right? You can schedule anything. HubSpot has a free books program, right? We will buy any HubSpotter any book that they want. There's no restrictions, right? The free book program has been in place since the 2008, the year after we started. And it's just an emphasis on trying to attract and retain the best employees in the world. You
Beautiful.
Need to do that to be able to deal with all of the changes that are going on in 2018.
And it all boils down to having not only the right inbound philosophy for your organization, but then translating that philosophy to how your company makes money.
Very good. So it's a great segue. The riches are in the niches.
Always.
Did you say that? Did I steal that from you the last time I was here?
Well, I use it in video all the time,
okay.
But I don't know if you stole it from me. I'm sure other people have coined it before me, but I love it.
I looked at it on Google to try to see like who yeah. said it, and it's not definitive of who the person yeah. is. But it is true. In 2016, I draw the comparison between 2 years ago and today because there's been so much change in just 2 years. In the old days, you could say I'm an inbound agency, and people would go, oh, okay, that's differentiating enough. Today, you've got to say I'm an inbound agency that works in Scottsdale, Arizona with construction companies with at least 30 employees that wants to grow 50% a year.
Right.
And if I hear inbound agency, I'm like bored. If I hear I'm a construction company and I describe my yep. agency the way you just – now I'm saying, wow, this guy Todd,
yep.
number one, he's done his research. Number two, he understands me. He knows me. And that goes a long way towards having good kind of customer relationships. Because in the old days – 2015, right? If you did a bad job, what would happen? If you screwed up a shoot or something would happen?
I'm going to sound really cocky doing this, but we've never lost a client.
All right. So
when you're saying this, I'm struggling,
you,
but
okay,
I think I'd
okay.
apologize.
In the
right?
other, in the, somebody'd call you and say, I didn't like it. And in your case, you'd probably do the shoot over again. You'd,
and I'd feel oh, horrible.
Totally over, of course
I'd still
would.
Feel horrible.
Okay,
about
the
it.
Rest of the world, right? 10 years ago, if you had a problem, you'd call somebody's boss, right? Today, if it's not the right fit, if your product doesn't work, if there's a problem, it's all over social media, right? All
yes.
of a sudden, you personally and your business is under this cloud. I'm not sure we could do Wirebuzz anymore
yes.
because did you see what they said on the so-and-so site? So today, it is much, much different. The bar is much, much higher, and you've got to be attuned to making sure that the customer experience is exemplary. Now, let me just point
yep.
this out. The last 4 years— we used to have 4 to 6 competitors in everything we did. I think
right.
it was 2009. Now we have over 20.
Right.
Right. It used to be that scaling a company was starting a company was the big thing. Now it's scaling.
Yeah.
So everybody has 20 competitors. So it used to be that they had to do business with you. Right. If they didn't do business with you, they didn't have a lot of options. Now they have so many options that if you're not beyond repose, right, if your product doesn't work, you have to have another level of differentiation, and that is usually the customer experience.
It's so important. As you were talking, it reminded me that I did have a problem with a client video recently.
Ooh.
And here's how I handled it. And I handled it just like I was taught by Ruth's Chris Steakhouse back in the day.
Ooh, I like that. Yes. Sounds like a good story. Let me hear it.
Well, anytime one of your customers, and it doesn't matter if they're at a table and you've got an apron on, or if you just did a video project or you're leading a marketing campaign, first thing, fess up.
Yep.
Be accountable.
Yep.
Second thing, address the solution in place and be willing to cover the cost. So I'll tell you my scenario. It wasn't even our issue. Client had us come out to one of their locations.
Yep.
And the day we arrived, there was somebody outside jackhammering.
Yep.
There's only so much soundproofing that you can do when somebody's jackhammering outside.
Right.
But I know they paid considerable for us to be there. And they've been a client for 7.5 years or one of our first clients. I would really do it with any client. But I just said, if it means that we need to come out and film it again, then you have my word, we'll come out and do that. And I know that you feel horrible and we feel horrible and we only want you to have the best product. And if I have to eat some money in order for you to get the best product at the end, I'm happy to do that.
Awesome. All right. It used to be that was extraordinary, and it still is. Everybody has to be like that. If you don't have that mindset today, you're going to get annihilated because everybody's mindset, everybody has ADD. Everybody wants it now. They want it perfectly, and they want you to know who you are, engaging with you with the right lead intelligence, the right timing. You and I were talking about this, and the right sensibility that you have to know what they want.
Right.
And so the whole inbound organization is all about establishing a customer experience even before people become a customer. I've got to treat you with respect and understand, even if you never become a customer, because you're part of our ecosystem.
Right.
And I want you to be saying nice things about HubSpot and about Dan Tyer. And if I help you, it's logical that you'll spread the good word.
That actually is the virality that I'm looking for. I know that a vast majority of our new business comes from people that left one company and bring us as part of their essential team.
Yep.
And I don't want to ever tamper with that. And at the end of the day, I have to make sure that anybody that recommends me knows that I'm going to go to bat for them, even if I have to eat it.
I know. You just have inbound in your bones, right?
I do.
You bleed orange. You did.
I really do.
Even before inbound was a thing, you were practicing, let's just tell people.
Right.
That was unique back then. The argument we're making today is it's almost table stakes because we all live in a fishbowl,
right?
And we need to make sure that that public persona of you personally, if you're a salesperson, a marketing person, a CEO, CEO should write content, right? People want to know what Brian Halligan is thinking about. They want to know what Darmesh is thinking.
As soon as my wife goes to bed, I start writing my content.
Yep. And that's part of the process because to a certain extent, they want to understand your values. They want to understand that you're human first. They want to understand and feel like that they can ask you questions on video. Mm-hmm. And over the last 30 years or so, you've established this track record. If anybody has questions on video, I'm just like, no, talk to my buddy Todd. He knows everything,
right?
And if you can't help him, you have no problem saying I can't help you.
No.
This is not my niche. I'm not really good here. And so that's all part of establishing that inbound organization so that, first of all, you understand your why. That's the basis.
Right.
Number two, you help people no matter what. Right. And it's still controversial. As I mentioned before, some people are saying, I'm in business to make money. I can't help everybody. And you're a testament to that's not true. You can help everybody. Right. Especially if you're doing it in a viral way of putting out videos and doing it in a scalable fashion.
Right.
Number three, you recruit the right people. Number four, you tell them exactly what you're doing with your M-Spot. Number five, you put together what we call an inbound operating system. And that is making sure that you're having company meetings on a regular basis, where you're posting the information in a wiki so everybody can ask questions, where there's a quality within the organization. And on a regular basis, people get an opportunity to kind of air their views, course correct, and create a great working environment.
Mm-hmm. All of those are essential. Now, if I'm reading inbound organization, that's information that would be at my fingertips that I could have access to, right?
Yeah, yeah. We start with an assessment, right? People say, well, how would I know where I am on the scale?
Yeah.
So Todd came up with this brilliant thing. He goes, well, let's do an assessment. I'm going, oh, that's great. So there's 20 questions that'll take you half an hour to fill out. And it ranges all the way from, well, how often do you talk to your employees about what they think you do? Right? Because I don't know, if I talked with any of your employees, I'm sure they would understand. No, we're here to help businesses with their marketing and video.
Yep.
And what you said is to help them generate revenue, right? Which is great. Lots of people, they're like, I'm in a cube. I don't talk with senior management.
Yeah.
I don't know what to do, right? And then there's So there's a range of questions that we ask to try to determine where you are in the process. And then we take baby steps of this is what you need to do. This is what you need to do at the senior management level, at the board of directors level. This is what you need in your marketing department, your sales department. In the final piece of this is that it has to permeate through the whole company, because you know if you call customer support and you have a bad experience with customer support, oh, you'll love this story. My buddy Andre Nakasa, he's got a problem with a big multinational bank that's really big in town.
By the way, you guys should all picture Dan right now. For the last minute, Dan's had his hand to his ear like he's got a telephone. He's talking to.
I don't like that. So my buddy Andre Nakasa, he's on the line. He's trying to get something solved. 10 minutes. 15 minutes.
Oh, I hate that.
When was the last time you stood on the phone for 15 minutes?
I hate it.
Right, Todd, when you were like 20, you did it all the time. You were calling somebody, you were on for 45 minutes. You were walking back and forth. Your wife was saying, where are you? You're like, I'm on customer support with American Airlines or something like that. And so he's on, at minute 20, he's gone, this sucks. At minute 25, he's on his phone. He's establishing an account with another bank.
Right.
At minute 35, he hangs up the phone. Why? Because he's about to transfer all of the dough that he has in the bank that I can't name over to the new bank account that he already started. I'm going, Andre, I'm going to use that a million times.
Yes.
That's 2018. While you're waiting on hold. Now, I'm never going to wait on hold for 25 minutes, right? Ever. Or again, right? You just call me back. You see that sometimes. You put it in your text and they call you back. Because I don't have time to, right? And it's offensive. And in the 25, 35 minutes it took him to have somebody being trying to figure out his problem, he had already started an account someplace else and he's no longer a customer of that.
He solved that problem.
In 35 minutes, right? The punchline is I'm surprised it took him 35 minutes because at minute 12, I'm like, you and I are like, no, wait a second, right? I got a lot of money in this bank. I'm not going to wait 25 minutes until you figure it out, man. And in 2020, it's going to be like, boom, right? You get a mortgage by pushing a button on your phone now, right? This is the world we live in. You better play into this world or you're going to get annihilated, right? And the whole idea is people need a little bit of help. So you buy the book, you realize what you need to do, where you are today, how you need to implement it, because even greater organizations need a little bit of help.
Right.
And then, boom, what we want is we want a majority of the businesses out there understanding the humanistic approach, understand how to treat people like human beings, helping everybody, having a sense of social responsibility. And if we do that, we'll have a better world and more people will be more successful.
Look, I am super excited. I'm a fan and a follower and a believer in your work and what's going on at Inbound. And I'm so excited. When does this book drop?
You can pre-order it now on Amazon or Barnes & Noble. It's April 24th. Doing a lot of speaking, a lot of writing, anything I can do to help anyone, right? If they send you an email, you forward it to me, and going worldwide, we want more inbound organizations in the world to do more good in the universe.
Now, in closing, and I think people that don't know Dan might not know the sincerity of that last statement there,
okay.
And it's totally true.
So here's the thing, right? Here's the story. My mission statement is to do the most good in the universe.
Right.
Right? And do you know where I got that?
No.
I'm testing your memory, but I have two beautiful children with my wife, Amy. I've been married 29 years, and Eli is my oldest son. Was a great, great student and was fortunate enough to get into the University of Chicago. Goes to the University of Chicago and matriculates for a year and a half, and then I get the phone call. He calls me up and goes, Dad, I'm dropping out. And I'm like, ooh.
Nobody likes that call.
I know. And
nobody likes making the call or receiving it.
I know. And Eli is like awesome. And so I jump on a plane. I fly to Chicago. I sit down with him and I got all my research, right? I got like a folder worth of background stuff about how you make more money, the contacts, University of Chicago, all this kind of stuff. And so sit down and we're having like a very cordial conversation. I'm trying not to be too dad-like.
But you're kind of pissed.
I wouldn't say I'm pissed because I always listen to what my kid said. My kid, when he was 9 years old, we were holding hands and he looked up at me at nine. He goes, Dad, I think I'm smarter than you. Oh. And we both knew he was right, right? And so he's just so thoughtful. He's completely different than I am. He goes, Dad, all I want to do is the most good I can for the universe, right?
That's beautiful.
And like, drop the mic, walk. I'm looking at him and like tears start springing in my eyes. I go, what do you say to that? As a dad, there's nothing else to say, right? He just ended the argument. I go, all right, Eli, I'm going to support you, whatever you want to do. And he's like doing great stuff working for this company, CIFAR in Silicon Valley. But I go, I'm stealing that line.
You should. Like,
he's going, Dad, knock yourself out. I go, I'm going to tell that line to millions of people. He goes, whatever. And in all my public presentations, it says my goal, my mission statement is to do the most good that I can for the universe, right? And I believe it. The reason I'm on your podcast is because I want to spread the word. I've been at HubSpot for 11 years. Right? I got plenty of dough. Yep. I love doing what I'm doing. I want to help more organizations be in. But the reason I friggin' wrote the book is because I want to make sure that people understand this is a critically important thing in the growth of business. And you're either going to help more people and you're going to thrive, right? Or you're going to do it the way we did it in the 1950s. And it's going to be a long, hard slog.
And I'm so glad we just spent a few moments on that. It helps provide a foundation of not only who you are, but what your core beliefs are and where you're planning on taking the great work that you've been doing at HubSpot. At the core of who I am as a professional and as a marketer is also being helpful.
Yeah.
And then for years, you know, I've got all older sisters and I would hear them talk about, and I'm going to make a marketing analogy and a dating analogy here. But I would hear them talk about the guy that would come up and introduce himself and go in for the hard close at a bar. And nobody wants to be that guy. And it doesn't matter if it's in a bar setting where you're the guy going in for the big close on, hello, do you want to get out of here and see my fish tank? Or if you're the salesperson that walks in and tries to close the deal in moment one, moment two.
Okay, now I'm going to go off, Todd, because you're 100% right. Number one, if you ever qualify in the Connect call, I'm going to drive to your office and kick your ass, right? But that's the way we did it, right? For the first 25 years, you called up and say, well, are you the decision maker?
Right.
If I told you, are you the decision maker in 2018?
Click.
The sound you hear, right? And when I teach people how to call, I say, no, my name is Dan. And they go, okay, Dan. I go, I'm here to help. And they're like,
very disarming, isn't it?
They go, what do you mean, help? I go, I'm here to help you with lead generation, customer acquisition, competitive advantage. And they're like, really? And I'm like, yeah, that's the way we do it, right? And then we talk for a little bit. And if there's reason to continue, then we book what's called an exploratory call. We never show them the product. Right. It's all about them. It's 2018, right? It's not about the
salesperson.
And
relationships are that way.
Exactly. But you don't, to your point, you can't ask people to get married on the first date.
No.
And as soon as that happens, now you get the reputation is that you're that guy in the lime green leisure suit at Mastriano's over there.
Yes.
Who's like at the bar trying to put their arm around.
Yes, it's troubling. And as marketers, you should be using your content to be helpful, to tee up the relationship, to be the thought leader, the guru, to answer questions. So a really easy way to get started with inbound marketing is to start thinking about the most frequently asked questions that people ask you upon first meeting, way before they even know about the product or service that you provide, and start answering those questions. My preferred way to do it is with video, but also supportive text, and put those two together and use those as on-ramps, where it could be an on-ramp where you've got a target persona that's looking for, that has a problem that you can answer for them. And then before you know it, that on-ramp of helpful information brings them to your website, or you start the next journey of being helpful. And before you know it, you move them through a buyer's journey and it becomes logical for them to want to do business with you.
Well, so you've been doing that for what? How long? 10 years?
Easily.
And so it's still an epiphany to lots of people. They go, really? And we have to explain to them about the buyer's journey, right? Which is critically important and it needs to be supported by the entire organization, right? A chapter in the book is about inbound legal, right? We interviewed John Kelleher, the chief legal counsel, and he goes, oh, no. We're legal. Right? We have a fiduciary responsibility, but we've got to be accretive to the customer experience. I'm going, are you kidding me? This is a lawyer who wants to be helpful in the buyer's journey and is thinking about that, of how he can make it easier for people to start HubSpot without all the legalese. Same thing with accounting, right? Same thing with Michael Redbord and HubSpot support.
Yeah.
You know, at HubSpot, if you don't want to wait on hold, right, we'll call you. Right?
That's beautiful.
I know. We will, you just put, no, please call me. And in a short period of time, somebody will pick up the phone and they'll say, Todd, Thanks for letting us know.
Yeah.
What do you need help with?
That's what a civilized company does.
It's amazing, right? Yeah. That is such a difference from what we were talking about with another big bank, multinational bank, right? Yeah. Who is asking you to stay on hold for 45 minutes.
Oh, and then there's the condescending recording that says, please hold. Your call is important to us. And yes. Me, I start stewing. No, it isn't. It can't be.
It's not just you. And then they ask you the same stupid questions for the 14th time,
right?
That's not a centralized view of the company. You have that? I'm telling you, you are going out of business and you know it, right? Because somebody's going to get on their phone and they're going to be opening that account while they're on the phone.
It's so cool. I can't wait to read your book. I can't wait to take the inbound philosophy to the next level.
Boom.
And for those of you that want to get a book, get an early advanced copy, go to inboundorganization.com and you can pre-order that and be the first kid on your block to start operating your company, your business with an inbound philosophy. Dan Tyer, always fun to have
Todd,
you.
Todd, it was a blast. Thanks for inviting me. Thanks for being such a gracious host. It's always great to be in your facility. Yeah. Anybody who's looking for any type of video, they should consider Wirebuzz. First-ranked organization for the last 10 years, inbound aesthetic and heart and great deliverables.
You know, thank you for that. I know that you mean it because recently you introduced us to a company that was asking you about video. And they're at our office regularly.
You're kidding me.
And,
that's great.
We do a lot of work for them. We're taking their whole buyer's journey and switching it into video. But more importantly, we've developed some really great friends.
Yes.
And when they come into the office, everybody gets out of their desks. They're like hugs all around the office because they're great people doing great work, being helpful and not trying to screw anybody over. And those are the people I always like to do business with.
Of course, everybody does.
Yep.
Very good.
He's Dan Tyer. You're going to want to go to inboundorganization.com to get access to the new book, Inbound Organization, written by Dan Tyer and Todd Hockenberry. Dan, thank you so much for joining me on the podcast.
You're welcome.
A lot of fun. And so I want to just take a few moments and thank all of you. But most importantly, if you're a marketer, you should be preparing yourself. If you're a video creator, you should be educating yourself on the inbound philosophy. If you walk into a door and you start talking to somebody about their company, and it's so easy for me to recognize the companies that'll benefit from inbound, the ones that really end up, you know, turning on the gas with customer leads coming through and being able to close deals. And by having an inbound certification under my belt and everybody on my team here at Wirebuzz, when I hire them, the first thing that I have them do is I say, have you been inbound certified? And 9 times out of 10, they don't. If they do have an inbound certification, I'm going to pay them more. I'm not kidding. You should know this. I will pay somebody maybe $20,000 more if they walk into my office and they already have an inbound certification and they're looking for a job. Do you get it? So I want to teach you how to do this. All you have to do is go to HubSpot.com and look for their inbound certification program. They are online, they are free, and because HubSpot is filled with really smart people, they've created their entire certification course in video. Why? Because reading is hard, but video is effortless. And so people on my team flow through that. They take the quiz, they get inbound certified, and now I've got an employee that is ready for prime time to talk in front of clients and to help us develop really smart inbound marketing strategies that move the needle and build ROI for our clients. And that will start for you or maybe members of your team at HubSpot.com. And that's about all I've got for this podcast episode. If it was valuable, go up to iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, hit the subscribe button, leave an honest rating and review. And if you want to get access to my mini course where I teach you my secrets to guaranteeing that all your videos generate a return on investment, I mean, my God, who doesn't want to learn how to do that? Well, I created a 5-part web-based video mini course, and you can get access to it at wirebuzz.com/ROI. All right. We'll look forward to the next podcast episode. On behalf of Dan Tyer and inboundorganization.com, I'm Todd Hartley here at Wirebuzz. Looking forward to our next episode where I can continue to help you to be a video marketing master.